So today, Thankivali and Thangunavodo have come as, together with a group of friends as representatives of Wat Pananachad on the occasion of having just taken over the responsibility of being the abbot there and the vice abbot, and to meet Thanajananan here. And the duty of looking after the monastery in Wat Pananachad is a sacrifice, and to hold the title of being an abbot is done for the sake of peace and for the sake of the good way of structure and orderliness in the monastery, which has been transferred from Wat Nongpapong over Longpo Liem all the way down to the disciples of the monastery. And Wat Papong has got many branch monasteries and many students and disciples. And Wat Pananachad is a forum for those. And former abbots, many former abbots have already moved to the west and taken over responsibility there in spreading Buddhism to unknown countries, and taking over responsibilities there was the generation here has to take over responsibility back here in Thailand. And this is done in a way where we also practice while looking after the monastery, and we're making ourselves useful both for ourselves and for others at the same time. Like, to create benefits for oneself and for others is a teaching that Longpo Cha stressed very much. And many times this expresses itself in having metta in teaching, and bringing in one's human resources into the spreading of the Dhamma, the spreading of Buddhism. The Dhamma itself has been passed down to us from the great Dhammaduta, the King Asoka, via Sri Lanka to Thailand. And it has always managed to increase faith in those who haven't yet had faith, and to make the faith stronger in those who already had the faith. And for us it means that we practice in order to arise this faith, and practice in accordance to the principles that our teachers, Longpo Cha, have applied and have inherited from their own teachers, for example from Longpo Man. And then knowing and seeing the Dhamma by ourselves and understanding it, we can then spread it to others. And the principles that are important in those teachings by Longpo Cha and Longpo Man are starting with Sila in the good foundation of the Vinaya, the monastic rules, and then with having mindfulness, Sati, they reach all the way to the training of the mind, the bhavana, to make the mind peaceful. And it implies that we work in overcoming the nivaranas, the hindrances that prevent the mind from being peaceful, and gradually create a firmness in our kamatana, in our meditation practices, in our meditation objects like Buddho, Dhammo, or Sangho. And whatever method we use in the beginning may be difficult, especially if we don't do it continuously. We need to do our practice of meditation, of bhavana, on a daily basis. And then peace will steadily increase. And peace is difficult. It is difficult for peace to arise if we don't apply ourselves continuously to the task of meditation. And daily practice and continuous mind, effort of training the mind, will bring fruits, and then our faith will also grow, and our minds will be filled with faith. In the beginning of our practice, we might start with reading about the teaching, and this triggers satta. This causes satta to arise, faith in the practice, and we're aiming, we have got goals of setting the teaching into the practice. But many times we doubt about what is the right way to practice, is the way that we chose the right way. We've passed many teachers and many centers before, and now we've met the teaching of Lungpo Cha, and the teaching of Lungpo Cha, we can say, stresses very much to have sati. And sati, mindfulness, means to have attention towards what the mind does when the mind meets an object of the mind, a dhamma, a ramana, an arom, as they say in Thai, an object that impinges on the mind, say, that comes to the eye seeing something, the ears hearing something, a contact, a dhamma, a ramana arises in the mind. And what does the mind then do? Will the mind move when the arom, the dhamma, ramana hits it? Or will it waver like the leaves that are blown by the winds? Are we reacting to the object of our mind? Are we reacting with agreeing to it or disagreeing, liking it or disliking? Are we shaken by it? Are we averse to it, or are we attached to it? Lungpo Cha very much stressed that we need to observe the mind, and to observe the mind is a way of seeing the Dhamma. How is our mind like? What it is like whenever it meets a phenomena that is either agreeable or disagreeable to us, something that we like or we don't like, that we even are averse to. How is the mind when it's in the middle, when it doesn't hold on to any of these reactions, when it is when it has found the middle way, where there's neither liking nor disliking? This is the peaceful mind. This is the mind that is in the middle. So we use sati in order to understand the phenomena arising in our mind and to know reality, and know it in a way without either liking it or disliking, no favors for it or no aversions. And then piti, like rapture and joy, arises, sukha and bliss and gladness of the mind. And the sati in this function makes the mind clear and radiant, and concentration becomes firm, and we turn towards having sati as a bhujanga, one of the enlightenment factors. And all these things work together and center around each other. But how do we use sati in a way that works together with reflecting on reality? If there's no meditation word that we use, no parikama, then our mind usually will drift off into proliferation, into fantasies, into making things and constructing things, and wisdom, panya, won't arise. And with no energy and laxness and no strength of the mind, it starts to waver, it shakes. So in those situations, we must protect the mind by our sila, by our virtuous conduct, which controls our bodily and our verbal actions. And in order to keep sila, we need to know our thoughts and restrain our thoughts, keep the thoughts and keep our mind and keep our actions in the framework of sila. And sila brings peace of body and speech in that way. Because our mindfulness may not be perfect, and we may lack it from time to time. Therefore, we need sila to protect us. And whenever we experience feelings of love and hate towards certain phenomena, we need to have patient endurance, we need to bear with it. And this is called otton in Thai. Otton means to control. Otton is the control about our emotions that come up. And with this kind of restrained way of using sila and sati, sati will give rise to panya. Panya is wisdom. And whenever we use this wisdom to reflect on our mind states, and whenever sensual pleasures, when sensual desires, raga arises, we use skillful means to counter that. We need to reflect on the body in the way of that the upachaya or ordination preceptor taught us, to reflect on the parts of the body, that our body is consists of various parts, 32 parts of the body, kesa, loma, nakadanta, tacho, the root meditation objects that we were taught in the ordination ceremony, or the 10 ways of reflecting on asupa, the unattractiveness of the body. And these skillful means to counter raga may lead to a nimitta, a sign, or a mental image, but this may not always be present from the beginning. We need to cultivate that, and for cultivating the nimitta, we use sanya first. We use our memory and our the images that we have, like in on the level of sanya, and using the sanya about asupa kamatana gradually increases samatha, increases peace. Applying the mind to the asupa sanya makes peace arise, and then this peace will help us in reflecting on the fact that these parts of the body, or the our body itself, is not beautiful, it is empty, and it is not attractive. This makes us feel more at ease and peaceful with the nature of the body. So we use sanya and our memories, or the perceptions of our body being not attractive, and peace arises out of that, and samadhi develops in the beginning stages. And with samadhi in the beginning stages, samadhi meaning concentration and peace of mind, this then supports hanya, which gradually increases. In the beginning, we need to put forth a lot of effort and try, and in order to see the body as it is. And in the beginning, we might not see it yet as a nimitta, an image, a mental image that rises when we meditate. But we use the sanya, the perception that we have in our mind, and hold on to this in order not to proliferate, in order not to have our minds go astray towards its constructions. We really need to then. We really need to see. We hold on the sanya in order not to proliferate, until we really see that the body isn't beautiful. And eventually we will in fact understand that the body is truly unbeautiful. First we use the sanya aramana in our mind to create this perception, and then gradually it changes and panya arises. Panya arises out of our thinking, out of our thinking process, and applying the mind to the perception of the body as not beautiful. We can use various skillful means and various ways of seeing the body in terms of bones, or a rotten corpse, a decaying corpse after a few days, covered with maggots, and leaving nothing but bones behind. And this is called asupa sanya, the perception of the unbeautiful. And this bringing up those images in our mind will lead to an understanding. And this brings peace on the level of how much we apply our minds to this image of the body. And it brings peace in order to our relation to our sensual desires. Like whenever sensual feelings arise, we don't react with agreeing to them. And eventually we see the impermanence, the suffering, and the not-self in the phenomena that arise, or take them to the level of emptiness. This is what is called vipassana, inside. Longpo Chao many times stressed that this kind of knowledge is nothing else than knowing, knowing the body as a body. The body is just the body, it's not a self, it is not us. So we use those sannyas of asupa to understand that the body is just the body, and we use nothing else but the knowing. Seeing the body becomes clear because we have applied sati and we have directed sati to the body. This is why the Kruba Ajahns don't teach us much more, nothing else than keeping mindfulness of the body. It's simple teachings like keeping awareness of the body in the four postures, and the Kruba Ajahns don't go very much into details. They say very much it is a keeping of mindfulness of the body and in terms of asupa sanya and reflecting on the body. And samatha and vipassana go together whenever we see clearly and we feel a relief of attachment through seeing the body as the body. This is vipassana, seeing clearly and having an understanding. Whenever feelings of the body becoming light and at ease arises, or gladness, rapture and joy comes up, we might not want to reflect very much further on the body, as the body and the reflection about the body as an unattractive thing is a coarse object of the mind. And we might have the wish just to only stay with contemplating the mind and looking at the mind. And this happened to Thanachananda himself when he was asking Longpo Cha to leave Wat Nongpapong in order to live in seclusion. Longpo Cha advised him to keep looking at the body, even though Thanachananda would like to contemplate the mind itself. And Longpo Cha, he kind of advised him not to really believe one's thoughts, not to believe oneself in this. If one's samadhi, if one's power of mind, firmness of mind, concentration is not yet fulfilled, is not yet enough, then one should keep reflecting on the body and look at the body and analyze the body and do practices as transgressing vedana, feelings, and stay with the body in the beginning before moving towards the mind. Practices that are related to the body as meditation objects are, as we know, for example, anapanasati, to know the breath and to watch the breath as it goes in and out of the body. And these practices will help us to overcome the fetters of Silapata Paramasa, Vichikicca and Sakkayaditti, and they will take us all the way to the attainment of the Dhamma. For example, seeing the elements, seeing the body as elements, seeing the earthness in the body, seeing the solidity or the wind moving, the fire, the heat, the energy, and seeing the reality of the body in terms of elements is a good reflection, is a way of applying the mind with mindfulness to the body in terms of elements. Beginning with the elements, we start gradually to see that there is no self in what we believe to be our body. And we start with taking the body apart into elements, and we understand that there is no self. We start seeing anicca, dukkha and anatta. And when then raga and dosa and moha arises in our mind, we see that it is not ours either. This is called magga samadhi. Sila, samadhi and panya work together. They come together in union. This is when the Noble Eightfold Path goes together and one understands that there is really no self. But for the beginning steps, we start with having faith. Faith in the training and making an effort in the practice, arousing energy and trying to walk the ways of the Kruba Ajahns and having faith in the path that they went before, and the meditation techniques that they have applied to their training, and using the recommendations, following the ways of the Kubo Ajahns. And this means to use mindfulness directed to the body, and to try to practice keeping up being mindful of the body. So we all start with our great wish for freedom from suffering, not yet knowing the path. We read about the Dhamma and get into contact with the teaching, but it still leaves doubts, and we start to arouse satta in our minds. And eventually we meet the teachers like Lungpo Cha, and who encourages us to continually walk the path and keep on walking, keep on practicing, and working at the practice, arousing satta through the model of the Ajahn that teaches us, and practice to have mindfulness increasingly, and to practice to be mindful whenever the hindrances arise, make the hindrances cease, and practice experiencing peace of mind, a stillness of the mind, all the way up to the level of vedana, feelings ceasing, and seeing that when we have mindfulness continuously and peace, stillness arising, this is not us, this is not ours. Seeing all these phenomena are all just anicca, dukkha, anatta. We take the practice on of seeing the body as not beautiful. And the more we reflect on the body as unbeautiful, the more the mind gets beautiful. We attain to the beautiful mind, knowing the reality of the unbeautiful body. We get disenchanted with the body. We feel a feeling of sangvega, an urgent dispassion, urging us on to increase our faith in the teachings of the Buddha, and that what the Buddha found in his teaching is true. And we get dispassion, we feel disenchanted with the world. We start with deriving some wisdom from reading the teachings, hearing the teachings, then we develop the practice. And the practice takes us to seeing the truth about the body and to seeing the truth about the Dhamma. We see the truth by dividing the body into elements and khandhas, and to seeing the unattractiveness and the unbeautifulness of the body. But we have to begin with satta. We have to begin with having satta, faith inside the effort. The effort to continually be mindful, and the mindfulness becoming stronger and focused, becoming samadhi. Samadhi then installing panya in our minds, real panya, that then again nourishes our faith, as we have seen the fruits of our mind, of our application of the mind, of our samadhi, of our efforts in mindfulness. Then we feel that piti arises, rapture and joy. And once we have the feeling of piti arising, then our satta, our faith in the practice, increases even more. Samadhi, faith, and the effort to keep practicing, all these things work together. They nourish each other. And eventually, we see a bigger perspective of anicca, dukkha, anatta in this world, in every part of this life. And we see that everything, every creature, everything in this world needs to die, needs to cease, needs to fade away. We can't find any essence in the world. Seeing this creates even more faith in the Buddha's teaching. A faith where there is no wavering, and a faith that is firmly established, a firm faith, an unshaking faith. And whatever problems arise will seem to us are even more increasing our understanding of the teachings of the Buddha, or the nature of anicca, dukkha, anatta. like problems arising lead to an increase of understanding, but also pity and rapture and joy arising leads to our mind being even stronger, and we start to separate the citta from the aramanas, the mind from its mind objects, the citta from the aroma, and then samadhi becomes strong. We can separate what is the mind and what are the phenomena, and then nibbana is really close. The Kripa Acharyas tell us, don't believe yourself too much. Use mindfulness, use samadhi, until you can separate the mind and the objects of the mind, the chit and the aroma. We need to take many steps so we can see the Dhamma. We have to incline our mind towards the practice, and keep the mind turning towards the practice, and moving on with the steps about the practice, and not care about the external phenomena. Keep inclining towards mindfulness, and the body becomes light and light. The mind becomes light. We start to see that the body and the mind are actually separate phenomena. The mind becomes focused to oneness, and even gains even more strength. And then, reflecting on anicca, dukkha, anatta, continually increases our faith and increases our unwavering understanding of the Dhamma. And the effort goes by itself. There is no need to push the effort, but the effort nourishes itself. And all the beginning that we started with patient endurance then goes in a natural way by itself, and we can nourish ourselves, sustain ourselves in the practice, and thinking that one day I will reach the end of this practice. So we all have the wish to one day see and know the Dhamma, and one day we will see and know the Dhamma if we start with the right motivation, with setting our minds right on the course. Then we will one day see the Buddha, see the Dhamma, and attain to vimutti, the liberation from all holding on to things, like from upadana, from being something, from being a being and being a self. We will understand what a release it is to be free from upadana. Sila, samadhi, panya, they work and they turn together, they turn around each other, they increase each other, and they get round. Sila, samadhi, panya go together, and then we will see very clearly if those three factors of the path work together. We see the Dhamma, we attain to seeing the Dhamma. But why is it that it takes so many years? It is because we need to build up our paramitas, to build up barami, to gradually bom barami. Bom means to train the barami. And then the enlightenment factors will come together by themselves. If our paramitas, our spiritual potential is full, then the enlightenment factors come together. And this works by itself. But and we can see that in our practice, we need to start with our effort to be doing the practices on a small scale, like we practice samadhi for 5 minutes first, and we can sit meditation for short times, and then we increase it because we don't give up and we keep nourishing our effort and we apply ourselves, and then we gradually become more focused. We gradually become used to being more focused, and the mind gets more still, and the doubts about the practice that we are doing gradually cease. The practice starts to reap fruit, and sometimes we might be in samadhi for months without any hindrances, and to have a feeling and experience to have samadhi, concentration of mind and focus of mind for long periods of time without being obstructed, is a result of our effort. the more effort we put forth, the more fruits we reap, and eventually we see things as that we take as our body as merely as elements, and we start to see the reality of our life and the reality of the body. The practices to start with are practices of composing the sense faculties, indriya samvara. So when the eye sees something, the ear hears something, the nose smells something, and so on, we don't get carried away by it, but we keep composed, we keep restrained in the use of our indriyas, our faculties, the sense faculties. If we eat a lot, then we will be drowsy, we won't be able to practice because we are overwhelmed with tiredness. And in terms of keeping the body awake, we try to sleep little. We try to put forth effort and decrease the time of sleeping. So we maintain a sense of having energy and we increase our feeling of motivation. But we need to find the right balance, especially with sleep. Sometimes what the teachers tell us, like 4 hours of sleep, maybe not the right amount, but 5 hours may. So we try to keep an aim of balancing our energy with sleeping, with eating. If we eat too much, eating gets out of control, then we won't have enough energy for meditation. So we need to train ourselves to eat just as much as we need for having the right energy for our practice. Similar when speaking, speaking little is conducive to be developing peace of mind. So speaking little will help us to be in control of our thoughts and of the objects of mind that that we nourish. So we have to control and refrain from speaking a lot. Because we have the wish to develop samadhi. We all want to get samadhi, but we don't lay the foundations. We don't do the necessary preliminary practices. We don't build the foundations, but we want to have the result of getting firm meditation. The teachers, like Lumpa Cha, always advised us in our practice not to follow our likes and dislikes, not to be prone to what we want and what we don't want, what we are attracted to and what we are averse to. Lumpa Cha stressed the training of the mind. The training of the mind means to apply the mind to all kinds of activities and to reflect on the requisites, the 4 requisites that we use, the robes and the alms food, and to reflect on the purity of how we attain those requisites that we need for life, how we obtain them from people in a pure way, and then use them in a pure way. Use the requisites and reflect on them. This is practice of the mind, being mindful. And the practice of the mind in this way leads to a ceasing of the 5 hindrances, karma, chanda, timna, mitta, uddacca, kukuccha, and so on. These 4 or 5 factors that hinder the development of the mind will get less, and freedom from the hindrance brings clarity of mind. And then one sees anicca, dukkha, anatta. So Tenajananan says, please ask some questions. It's time to ask questions.
Maybe something on our own and collaboration with results from the Iran. And I will, but the collaboration.
So the question was how to deal with the mind getting out of control and proliferating, and whether Tanajan has got some skillful means in order to help the mind not to take off into proliferation. And Tanajan said, well, most of the time the mind runs into the future, so keep the mind in the present and tell yourself, teach yourself, everything that is going to come is not sure. There's no way that one can be sure of the thoughts about the future, and to keep in mind, like, everything that arises, everything in life will die away, will be otherwise, will not be sure. And this is one of the main teachings that one can keep in mind in order to stop the mind from proliferating. And one can think about death being waiting for one in the morning, in the afternoon, and the evening, and every time of the day. Keep Maranānusati as a meditation practice, like to think about death, recollect death and the uncertainty of life. And one has to kind of fight with the thinking, like match the thinking with the thoughts of death. Like any thinking that gets out of hand, we counter with the thoughts of death. And in the end, like these thoughts cut off proliferations. But using any kamatana that we are skilled in is okay in order to cut off proliferations. It can also be butto. But many times Lungpo Cha taught that one can use death and in order to feel cut off from feelings of love and hate, or liking, disliking, wanting to have, wanting to be. And he always said, all these things are not sure. Don't use those thoughts and get carried away with them. And in a way, we use the sanya in order to counter the mind going off. So sanya, the recollection and keeping in mind death, the sanya aramana is actually very close to panya. Like, it's very linked to having the wisdom, seeing that death is to come, and this is called Maranānusati, recollection of death, keeping death in mind. So the question was that, as Tenchakinu understands Tanajan's teachings, is that there are two ways or two stages of the practice. One is to look at the body, and one is to look at the mind. So to reflect on the body and to reflect on the mind. And the Tanajan said, like, actually it's the body first, like to contemplate the body, and then go to the step of looking at the mind as a more advanced practice. But as Tanajan was a photographer before, he tends to love beauty and see beautiful things and beautiful forms everywhere, and he felt like if he looked at these things and in his mind dismantled the practice into something that's unbeautiful, then he would actually try to use the mind and look at the mind, the reactions of the mind to the beauty. And so the question is, can one also practice looking at the mind first?
Is that the right translation?
Okay. So Tanajan said, yes, you can also start with the mind. Say, for example, you see a beautiful sight, a beautiful picture, and then you reflect on the reaction of the mind and seeing how the mind gets enslaved with that and becomes attached to that and becomes like captured by the beauty. And then to apply reflections on the insecurity and the instability of the beauty, and or the reactions of the mind, as with positive, good, beautiful thoughts, that these are not sure and that they're not reliable. So one needs to teach one's mind while one is seeing these things, teach one's mind not to like or dislike the phenomena. And then the mind can become peaceful as well. Say, it sees the illusion, maya, in the beautiful. For example, flowers, beautiful flowers, the leaves. And then one turns the mind towards seeing the decay in it. It is teaching one's mind not to fall prey to liking things. And then if the mind then becomes peaceful, one needs to keep watching it.
Any other questions?
then doesn't get into like one point.
Piti, sukha, these are signs of upachara samadhi, and this can come up when we use sanya. Like many times, this comes up because we use the sanya of things are not sure. We reflect on things, and the mind goes down into peace. But still, there is a little thing that is not yet peaceful. There's something that is not yet full, and this is not enough. Then the upachara samadhi is not yet full to the level that the mind becomes mind. One-pointedness. So that means the power of piti, sukha, and samadhi is not yet fulfilled. It's not yet complete. So we have to do it very often. And even with piti, sukha, for about a month or so, it can come to the point that it again withdraws and goes back to the state where it is on a coarser level. And upachara samadhi, in fact, has three levels. Tanajan mentions there's the coarse level, and there's the medium level, and there's the refined level. And one has to be skilled in using all the three levels and entering all the three levels. And those when one is skilled and can use those three levels, the coarse, middle, and refined one, then the mind goes together in oneness. And it means that we need to lay our foundations very, very well in order to be skilled in practicing on upachara samadhi and again and again, and then using reflection to get into a level of upachara neighboring samadhi, which is in a middle way, or then finally going to the refined level. And he says maybe the samadhi is not yet full and complete. The mind doesn't go into oneness because the upachara samadhi is still on the coarse level. So one has to kind of refine it and keep working with it. That's the way I understood the answer.